Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we are grateful. Grateful, Lord, to be in thy presence, grateful to have thy word before us, grateful to be gathered together as a body of believers, thankful, Lord, for all that thou hast done in our lives. Lord, may we show our thankfulness, Lord, by obedience unto this word that we have, the Lord, knowing that this word gives life and that more abundantly. And so we just pray, Lord, that thy presence would be felt and that we might be attentive to hear what thy spirit would speak to us this afternoon, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our reading this afternoon, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing, therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto him, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May God. Hebrews is a book that was written specifically to the Jewish people, to the Hebrews, that they would understand the truth that Jesus was come as the Messiah, as Emmanuel, and that he would provide something better than that which had come in the past. And so it's a book that would give the Hebrews, the Jewish people, an understanding of who Jesus was in relation to the understanding that they had from the old Mosaic law. And there's a few themes that come out in the book of Hebrews, and one is the theme of better. Jesus Christ being a better and a greater high priest than that which was provided in the Old Testament times. And then also the thought of, as a response to that, as the thought of, let us therefore take action based on this truth of this better way that we have through Jesus Christ. And so in our reading this afternoon, let's look at verse number 14 as we make a beginning. It says that seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So he says, seeing that this is true, that we have a great high priest, not a priest, not a high priest, but a great high priest, the great high priest. And he identifies him as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's passed into the heavens. And so this is the better way, Jesus Christ, that we don't have a priest or a high priest, but we have the great high priest. So the priests in the Old Testament, as we read in the book of Leviticus, they would make an atonement for the people as they had sinned, and their sin would be forgiven them. That was true over and over. They were given these precepts that the Levites, the priests, would perform these things. They would make an atonement for the people, and they would receive forgiveness. But it was an inferior system because those that were providing the atonement were imperfect of themselves. They were just priests. And there would be a remembrance of sins afterwards as well. But now has come the time that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would be the great high priest who would make an atonement for sin once and for all, and that forgiveness would be provided for all who would have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if this is true, this verse is saying, so if this is true, which we believe, as the Holy Spirit we read this morning, would bring truth, that Jesus Christ is this the great high priest, then the response to that is, let us hold fast our profession. Let's hold fast our profession. Well, what is our profession? Our profession is that we are followers of Christ. So we have this great high priest who's gone into the heavens. And as a response to that, we have faith in him, and we are holding fast this profession as being followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater title that we can hold as a people than to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's hold fast to this profession that we have of being followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see in this chapter that there's this better way, this way of Jesus Christ, and what our response is to it. Let us do these things. Let us do these things. Throughout the book of Hebrews, we see that. The word better shows up 12 times throughout the book of Hebrews. The word let us also appears 12 times throughout this book of Hebrews. And so let's consider this chapter in this light of there's a better way, this way of Jesus Christ, which I don't believe we struggle with it, but the Jews had to come to an understanding that there was now a great high priest that was higher than any priest that they had known in times past. But we already believe that to be true. If we review a little bit of the previous chapter, he speaks of how they lost their way. The children of Israel had lost their way. And it was in the time when they were coming out of Egypt by Moses. And it says here, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved the 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Those that had sinned, and we recall what that sin was from this morning's message, that the greatest sin that we can have is unbelief, a rejection of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's speaking of here. And it says, and to whom he swore that they should not enter in his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That is the greatest sin. That is the greatest sin, that we cannot enter into heaven. We cannot enter into rest without having faith and a full faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Later in Hebrews, it speaks of, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have to have this faith in our lives. In order to please the Lord, we have to have an abiding faith in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ and the work that he has performed. That faith has to be made manifest. And so in these first 11 verses of this chapter, he speaks of a rest. And he says, unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, those Israelites who made it out of Egypt. The word was preached to them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't have faith. God provided everything for them, but they didn't have faith. So let's consider a moment how it was when the children of Israel were departing from Egypt and coming into the promised land, how it was for them, and then let's compare that to how it is with our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The children of Israel had been in Egypt for 400 years plus, and they were servants to the children to Egypt and to Pharaoh. And Moses would be going to Pharaoh and saying, "Let my people go," and he would not. And then finally it came to pass that God said, okay, enough, and the Passover came. And the firstborn of every household of the Egyptians was killed, even including Pharaoh's household. And then Pharaoh finally said, leave, we want you to leave. And all the Egyptians pushed out the Israelites, and the Red Sea opened up. Did the children of Israel do any of this? Did they have a part in the Passover, other than following the commandments of the Lord, that the firstborn of the Egyptians would perish? No, they had no part in that. Did they have a part in the Red Sea parting and opening up? No, the children of Israel had no part in that. God did that for them. After they passed through, did the children of Israel have a part in the Red Sea closing again and drowning their enemies that were pursuing them? No. The children of Israel had no part in that. God did all that for them. Were they feeding themselves in the wilderness? No, God was providing for them provision for them each and every day. God provided the way. God provided everything for them. And yet, a lot of them lacked faith. All that lacked faith, none of those made it into the promised land. They didn't make it into the promised land. And so here we see that in this previous chapter, it says, for we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back. And so it was that the time came where they were coming and getting ready to go into the promised land of Canaan. And the 10 spies went in there, and 8 of them come back with the report saying, there's giants in the land. It's an evil land. That land swallows the people up. And then they murmured and they complained and they said, oh, that we would have just died in Egypt. Oh, that we would have just died in the wilderness. And they were saying, let's make us a captain and let's get back to Egypt. They lost faith. They lost faith in all the things that God provided for them, all those miracles that God did for them, the fire by day and the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. All these things, God was doing all these miracles for them, but they lost faith. They lost faith. They said, oh, we remember the fish that we ate without any reservation. We ate that fish all the time, and the melons and the garlic and the leeks and the onions, all these good things that they had. They wanted to go back into bondage, but God was offering to them this freedom in this land of Canaan, a land that flowed with milk and honey. And Joshua and Caleb reported to the people and said, no, don't worry about the giants, the sons of Anak. Don't worry about them. If it pleased the Lord, he will give us this land. It's an exceeding good land, a land that flows with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord. Let's please him well. That was the report that Joshua and Caleb gave to the people, and they didn't want to listen to Joshua and Caleb, and they wanted to stone them. They lost faith. All things were provided for them. They lost faith, and because of that, they did not enter into rest, as it says here in Hebrews chapter 3. They could not enter into rest because they lost faith. God did everything for them, but they lost faith. God did everything for us. We had no part in bringing Jesus down from heaven. We had no part in him of giving of himself and dying there upon the cross. We had no part in him resurrecting from the grave. That was the glory of the Father. We had no part in that. We had no part in his ascension back up to the Father. We had no part of the Holy Spirit coming down after Jesus ascended. We had no part in any of that. But we are to have faith in this. We are to have faith in this. And we know that this provides us salvation. And we glory in this. And we are thankful for this. And we are not to lose this faith that we have, that we would come short and not be able to enter into this rest. And here in verse number 3 it says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." We which have believed do enter into this rest. And it takes faith. It takes faith. Faith on our part. And we are to exercise ourselves in this faith. We are able to enter into rest as we believe. Now, the definition of rest here has different forms. We can rest in the Lord, as it says there in Psalm number 37. Rest in the Lord. To repose down. To repose down and to just simply have our peace in him. And so we have this. We have this available to us. Let's focus on the Word. Let's allow the Word to work into our hearts, and not to allow distractions from coming into this Word as it comes into our hearts. So he's speaking here that we would enter into this rest, and this rest is speaking of reposing down, and to have a peace about it that. When we rest in the Lord, we're done searching. We're done searching. We're not looking anymore. We have found Jesus Christ, and we have faith in him. And so we have that rest. But then in exercising our faith, there's certainly a labor there. And we see that we are not entered into that rest. And as he says here, in verse number 8 and 9, he says, "For if Jesus had given them rest, they would not have afterward have spoken of another day." He would not have spoken of another day if we were to have entered into a rest. But there remains a rest to the people of God. There remains a heaven that's coming. There remains, and it's coming, it's in the future, a time where we rest in him. Where our labors will all be done. God rested from his works. That means in that case that the Greek translation of that rest in verse number 4 and verse number 8 is to cease, to end their labors. And we are to end our labors as well when we are done with our life. But as it was for Joshua and Caleb, they labored. They labored in their faith, and in laboring in that faith, their works did follow them, and there was blessing in that. And Caleb and Joshua provided a hope for the children of Israel. And those that had faith and believed in God, they did enter into that rest. They did enter into Canaan's land. In Revelation, we read, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, thus saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." If we look at Hebrews 11, they labored. They labored. They didn't enter into a rest yet. They labored, but their works did follow them. And so it is for us that there is coming a time when our labors will be over. And how was it that we lived out our faith? in laboring for the Lord? Were we followers of His, doing His will and pleasing Him in all things and being faithful to the profession and holding fast the profession that we have been called to, being followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so he says here in verse number 11, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Let us labor. Our faith is an expression of laboring. We labor, and that's an expression of our faith. But we know that we can't labor or earn our way into salvation. Just as it was for the children of Israel, they had no part in their escape out of Egypt. And for us, and in what Jesus Christ has done for us, we had no labor, and we had no part in that. That was given unto us. But we are now to exercise our faith by laboring and doing what He would have us to do, even as it was for Caleb and Joshua, as it was for all those that are listed here in Hebrews 11, how they labored for the Lord and did what He would have them to do. And after, when their life was ended, then they entered into rest. And so he says here, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall, meaning not going forward, after the same example of unbelief." So he speaks here of that rest. And then he gets into the Word of God, and he says, "For the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The Word of God, as we allow it to work in us, as we partake of it, as we read of it, and just simply allow it to mold us and to shape us and to fashion our hearts and our minds after the truths that are written herein, we find it to be just as it's written here, quick. It's quick. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is lively in us. We bring it to remembrance. It's powerful, meaning it's active in our lives. It's effective in our lives, and it's operational in our lives. Those are some of the other Greek definitions of the word of powerful, that it's active, that it's effectual, that it's operative by faith in our lives, that we believe that the Bible is true, that we believe that Jesus said He's going back up to the Father, but when He goes, He's going to send His Holy Spirit, and He will guide us into all truth. We believe these things to be true. We believe it to be true. And so it is powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It does its work in our lives. And it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Piercing. The Word of God can pierce. Again, that means to reach through. To penetrate. To penetrate even the most hardened heart. As we read here in Hebrews 3 and also in Hebrews 4 as well. "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart." Don't harden your heart. But yet the Word of God can penetrate even the most hardened heart. It pierces through. And so we are thankful for this Word of God. Thankful that God has seen it so that His Word would be preserved for us. Again, going back to the book of Revelations, chapter 19, verse 13 says, "And he was clothed with a vesture dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." The Word of God. So the Word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's effectual in our life, it's active, and it pierces through even the most hardened heart. And so he says here that His name is called the Word of God, that's riding on this white horse that's true and faithful, and His eyes are a flame of fire. And it says further that out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword. So the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It says here also that out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that He should smite the nations. And He had on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All caps, all letters. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is the Word of God. This is Jesus Christ. And so we are thankful for His Word, and we want to partake of it. And we want it to be something that is in us. And when we think of those that were in Hebrews chapter 11, how they were filled with the Word of God. They were following after the Word. And when they were pressed and when they were squeezed, out from them came the Word of God. And likewise for us, when we are tempted, when we're being pressed and when we're being squeezed, out of us should come the Word of God. Out of us should come the fruit of the Spirit. It ought to be something that we meditate upon all the time, because it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces through. The Word of God ought to be something very important in our lives. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open with Him with whom we have to do. God knows everything. God knows all things. There is no creature, meaning there is no person of any culture, of any time frame, but God knows all things of all peoples. He knows their hearts. He knows what they're thinking. He knows all of us very well, through and through. If we have His Word abiding in our hearts, if we're not losing faith when difficulty comes, but we are active in our faith, then He knows that and He sees that. And so I'd like to close with the first verse of this chapter, and I'd like to close with the last verse of this chapter. The first verse says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." So there are four "let us" in this chapter. This being the first one in this chapter, let us fear. Let us have a healthy respect toward God, knowing that it is possible to apostatize. It is possible for us to walk away from our faith. It happened to the children of Israel after they seen all the miracles of the Lord before them. They walked away from their faith. And there have been many a men that have walked away from their faith, knowing that God was faithful to them. And so He's saying here, let us fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We are so needy of the promises of God. We rely upon them so much. And if we're careless in our faith, those promises will go away. They will leave us. Of us having the ability to enter into His rest. And so we want to cling to this salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and know that it is the most precious thing that we have. There is nothing of more value in our lives than having the promises of God that we have eternal life. And so salvation for us is very important. But if we're careless, sin can destroy our faith. But we want to guard this precious treasure that we have, this pearl of great price that we have, of our salvation that has been promised unto us as we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He says, let us fear, therefore fear. Let us hold fast our profession of following the Lord, and let us labor to enter into that rest. And then the last verse says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I find the wording here very interesting, that we would come boldly unto the throne of grace. The throne. This word is the same word that's used throughout Revelation when it speaks of God sitting on the throne and being on that throne. That great white throne. This is the same Greek word that's used there. And so a throne is a stately seat that has power. A stately seat that has power. That is what a throne is. And He's saying, let us therefore come boldly unto this throne of grace. grace where we can call upon the Lord and know that he will provide for us. If we walk in faith, if we labor in our faith, if we exercise our faith, we can come boldly unto this throne of grace and know that he will provide. He will provide mercy, as he says here, that we can obtain this mercy. And again, we put ourselves in a beautiful position to obtain grace when we are laboring in faith. When we are laboring in faith, grace comes upon us, and that abundantly. And then we receive mercy, and we find grace to help in that time of need. He gives us these things, and we rejoice in him. And so he tells us that we have a great high priest who's gone into the heavens, Jesus Christ. There is this, not perhaps better way, but the best way of through Jesus Christ. And our response to that is that we would fear, is that we would labor, is that we would hold fast our profession, and that we would come boldly unto this throne of grace that God so lovingly provides. We just have to simply marvel as we read a chapter like this and think of how great our God is and how he doesn't do things in small measures but in great, great measures. He wants to lavishly bestow upon us his grace. He wants to lavishly bestow upon us his mercy. He wants us badly to be in this rest with him in heaven above. And so let's be anticipating this rest that will be given unto those who are faithful, to those who believed all the way through, and who expressed their faith by laboring for the Lord, as Caleb and Joshua did, and as all those in Hebrews listed in Hebrews chapter 11 did. Let's anticipate with gladness this rest that is for those who are faithful. The Bible speaks of it and says that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Let's anticipate this, that this is a beautiful, beautiful place, streets of gold, mansions that have been prepared for us. And Jesus is inviting us to come and dine with him. And there will no longer be a need of the sun, because the Lord himself will be that light. And this will be forever and forever and forever and forever. This is what the Lord wants to impart unto us. A great God, a powerful God, who wants to just lavishly give his gifts of life to us. Let's continue in the faith that has been once given to the saints. Amen.
The writer of the Hebrews was inspired by the Holy Spirit to use the examples from the past to teach us what we need today. And the Holy Spirit also inspired the writer to put, as it were, a magnifying glass upon Jesus Christ, the one who is the better way, truth, and the life, to teach us what we need today. And we have learned that we have need of meek and contrite hearts, and hearts that are not hardened against his call and his word. We've been encouraged to have a lively faith, a faith that is active, one that, even as it says in the previous chapter, exhorts one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so we, in faith, what I learn from this is, in faith we warn one another about the dangers that are all around us, that each of us are susceptible to if we're not vigilant, so that we can help one another, so that we can, as the writer of Hebrews does, put that magnifying glass upon Jesus Christ and show the world his love. Let us, in faith, love and express the kindness and mercy of Jesus Christ to one another, so that they can see, and that they can also be called and be convicted of God's claim on our lives and theirs. for his honor and for his glory. So may the word, as we have heard it, speak to us from far in the past and from the truths that we know of Jesus Christ to speak to our hearts exactly what we need today. May God bless his word. Amen.